Welcome to your Sound Off Extra review for WWE Elimination Chamber 2020 from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Or was it Corpus Christi? May have been Corpus Christi down in Texas. You could have fooled me. Although I don't know how much blame I can really assign to the crowd. This show tonight, the final stop to WrestleMania, was the perfect highlight of what a worthless show this was, at least this year. There are some years where the Chamber, you know, it can be exciting. There's a reason to have an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Tonight was not one of those nights. I've been saying it for weeks. This show was a total afterthought coming out of the Saudi Arabia show. Whenever you do two pay-per-views within 2 weeks of each other, especially that second show, it doesn't end well for that show. It had its moments. This was not a good show, and that main event was an abomination as pay-per-view main events go. There was no reason for it to happen in the first place, because we all knew Shayna Baszler was going to win anyway. What a, just a colossal failure that main event turned out to be here on this show. This was the final stop before WrestleMania. What's going on, everybody? I forgot to say hello to everybody in the chat. Everybody filtering on in. Come join. We got a lot to get to here tonight. So shout out to everybody tuning in live here on YouTube on this Sunday night. This was the first time in many years that neither of the Chamber matches on the show were contested for either the top championship on Raw, the top championship on SmackDown, or for a shot at the WWE, well, I guess the Women's Championship. It was for the Women's shot at WrestleMania. But the two top titles were a complete afterthought. WWE title, Universal title, no Roman Reigns, no Goldberg. First time in years, maybe ever, that that has happened. And you could see what a wonderful idea that was based on the main event that we just saw. I loved it in the opening minutes of that final match, the Chamber match. You had Natty and Ruby Riott. What did you expect? Having a pay-per-view main event with Natalya opening the match. Sarah Logan gets her WWE pay-per-view main event debut here on this show. I mean, Philadelphia was already dead for most of the show. I don't know what. It was very unlike Philly to be that quiet throughout the night. You knew going into this main event, this is going to be bad news for these women. If this crowd was quiet for AJ Styles and Aleister Black and some of those matches, these women didn't stand a chance. And it worries me because there's been all these reports about Vince McMahon was not happy with the match with Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane last week on television. He might be giving up on her, having second thoughts. And I said, it's only one match. You got to give it time. You got to build her up. There's a lot of people who don't know of her run from NXT. And it's weird because tonight, she was completely dominant. She was like Brock Lesnar inside that chamber. And yet the match absolutely sucked. The way that match was laid out, what? You have long periods of nothing. We got to watch Shayna Baszler in the main event on this pay-per-view pace back and forth furiously. They should have had a close-up shot of the mat. You would have seen footprints on the floor from all the indentations in the mat. She was walking back and forth so many times. Who thought that was a good idea? To have these long extended periods of nothing. Two times. CM Punk chance, boring chance. This was a failure. That main event was a failure. I can't even blame the women. It's not their fault. They didn't put the match together. I'd love to know who put this match together. That match had no business going on last in the main event. Absolutely no business whatsoever. Polls open. I want everybody to vote. At Solomonster. Let your voices be heard. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What did you think of this pay-per-view tonight? I can only imagine some of the responses that I'm going to get from some of you guys to this pay-per-view here tonight. Smash that like button on the video. I wouldn't ask you to do that on the pay-per-view, but at least on this video, smash that like button. Whatever the inverse, the opposite is of your opinion of the pay-per-view. That could be your opinion of this video. And as you are seeing on your screen, and I am going to get to all the Super Chats coming in. I do appreciate all the support. Super Chats are open. Disappointed Solomonster for $5. There's Russo on a poll. There he is. $10. Brand new creepy Jeff Hardy for $20 or more for those who are inclined to want to do that. I appreciate it. The kickoff match, we may as well start from the top here, and we'll get through this whole thing. We'll get through this together here in this review. Viking Raiders against Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Two babyface teams going toe-to-toe. Raiders win with the Viking experience. I think that dancing baby blue shark that you see on your screen is more exciting than most of the stuff we saw in this pay-per-view tonight. That shouldn't be. That should not be the case. So the Vikings get the win with the Viking experience. 5-minute match. These matches feel so pointless. What was the point of this? Two babyface teams one-on-one. What was even the point of this? Is the kickoff supposed to get people excited for the Elimination Chamber? I think this may have done the opposite. I'll go 1.5 out of 5. You guys loved the ratings I was giving the matches last time, so I'm doing it again. Not stars, just on a scale of 1 to 5. I'd go 1.5 out of 5 for this. So the pay-per-view itself, and this, now that I look back on this, in all honesty, I mean, really, it's this or the Tag Team Chamber match. There was some good stuff on the show. The whole show was not a total lost cause. I don't want to shit on everything on the show. That ending left a bad taste in my mouth. We're going to get to that. But this opening match here on this pay-per-view was, if not the highlight of the show, one of the top highlights of the night. They ended very badly, but they opened strong. Daniel Bryan against the hometown boy, Drew Gulak, who got a decent amount of cheers coming out, nothing overwhelming. But Bryan was still cheered as the babyface here. So the story coming into this match, last several weeks on SmackDown, Drew Gulak has been telling Heath Slater and different people that Daniel Bryan has weaknesses in his arsenal, he's got holes in his game. And Daniel Bryan got tired of it. He said, look, if you think I have holes in my game, then why don't you come face me in a match at the Chamber pay-per-view? And so here we are. Simple story. This was a stiff, stiff match. Strong style type match. Call it whatever you want. Japanese style, you know, British strong style. It was a strong, stiff match between these two guys. When it was over, Gulak had a cut under his eye. Bryan had welts all over his body. These guys were not nearly as injured as all the fans who were watching this pay-per-view, but that's a different story. Bryan, welts all over, nearly broke his neck 5 times. Michael Cole mentioned a few weeks ago, did you miss it? I'm going to show you the picture again in a second of what happened to Daniel Bryan. Michael Cole mentioned a few weeks ago that, the whole story about Gulak telling Heath Slater to work the knee in the TV match that he had with Daniel Bryan. And he didn't do it, but here, Gulak worked the knee, he worked the leg for a good part of the match, and the neck. A lot of mat wrestling early. Everything Bryan did, Gulak would do it better, and he had an answer for it. Gulak gave Bryan a terrifying release German suplex. Let me show this again for the people who are tuning in live here on the stream. Actually, I can't do it because it's going to play the music. I don't want it to play the music again. But you saw it at the top. You can rewind later. A terrifying image of Daniel Bryan soaring through the air. Look at the Undertaker on your screen. Disgusted. That's shocked Undertaker. That was his expression when he saw this released German suplex. They showed 6 different replays of this suplex. Bryan landed right on top of his head, right on the back of his neck. This is a man that had neck surgery. That was very, very scary. He went all Kota Ibushi on us here in this match where, you know, you thought by the end his neck was made of silly putty, only it's not. It's made of nuts and bolts. Bryan rolled out to the floor. They built, there's this dramatic close call where he almost didn't make it back into the ring in time. They did the Bret Hart Dynamite Kid suplex out of the ring spot. I mean, I call it Bret Dynamite just because they were the first two I ever saw do it. I'm sure somebody must have done it before then, but they did the suplex out of the ring spot. Bryan suplexed Gulak out to the floor. Gulak held on to Bryan, took him all the way down. And again, a nasty fall, safe fall, but a nasty fall it looked like for Bryan. Gulak hit an inverted suplex off the top rope to Bryan, rolled through into a dragon sleeper, what he calls the Gulak. Bryan transitioned into the Yes Lock, and eventually Gulak passed out in the hold. After the match was over, Gulak got to his feet. Daniel Bryan pointed at him. He got the crowd to clap out of respect, as they should, for Drew Gulak. And I'd go 4 out of 5 on this. maybe even a little bit higher. This was great. This was a great professional wrestling match. Commentary I thought was on point. I got to give credit to the announcers on this match. I was hoping they would give Gulak the shock win here and keep it going. Maybe, and look, this might continue anyway. Gulak may not go away. He may want a rematch. You know, the story may be that, you know, you got one over on me, but I know another hole in your arsenal. Give me one more shot. Maybe he beats him on TV. Maybe they go all the way to WrestleMania with this. I wouldn't mind that. You know? Hopefully not the last time that we have seen these two in the ring together. But as I look ahead to WrestleMania this year, I'm not quite sure where Daniel Bryan fits into the puzzle. Drew Gulak will be lucky to have a match. He'll be lucky to sniff the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. But Daniel Bryan should be in a prominent match. And I worry that if he doesn't have anything to do, and Sheamus doesn't have anything to do, Vince McMahon will go, well, goddamn, why don't we do Daniel Bryan and Sheamus? His favorite go-to match, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. It may be a very good match. But I just worry that, hey, we don't have anything better for this guy. We'll just put these two in the ring together. Let me play catch-up on some of these Super Chats. I'm going to be playing catch-up all night. I guess it's a good problem to have. But thank you to Brian Becerra for the $20 earlier. Mr. E1976 with the $5. What's going on? Joe Olivo with the $5. And we've got Austin Sanders with the $5 as well. Said tonight's theme was about putting over acts that you don't usually see get over on TV. Hope you enjoyed it because it's back to the status quo tomorrow. And, you know, that's a fair point. Whether it was Gulak in his match getting some shine against Bryan, whether it was Shayna being all dominant in the main event. And all it takes is one show like this. One crowd that just, for whatever reason, was not overly enthusiastic about almost anything tonight except The Undertaker. I mean, that was about it, really. Yeah, it could be curtains for some of these people. All it takes is one bad... Look, all it took is one bad main event killed WCW. Think about it like that. One bad television match on Monday Night Raw killed the revival of WCW. So it's very possible that tonight's show will actually end up being a very important show. It could be the death of the push for certain people on TV. Joe Obale, thank you for the $10. Chris Quillman with the $5. And we'll do one more here. Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn DC, thank you for the $4.99. I will play catch up as we go on here throughout the stream. We had Andrade against Humberto Carrillo for the United States Championship. This is the feud that goes on and on and on forever and ever. The good thing about it is that these guys can go. So it's not like they're going out there churning out. It's not like Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin every single week, right? At least these two guys can put on a clinic if you give them time. The problem is, how many times do we need to see fucking Andrade in there against Humberto Carrillo? How many times do we need to see Humberto lose? Maybe that's the better question. I figure, look, if they're going to go all the way to WrestleMania with these guys, do a four-way maybe, you know, for God's sakes, at least put the championship on the guy. Even if it's just a short-term thing, just to get it on Angel Garza. But nope, they didn't do it. They did not do it. Desmond McCade, thank you, my friend, for the $50. There's a crazy Jeff Hardy. It's a very freaky gif. That thing creeps me out. Thank you for the $50, man. That's awesome. I appreciate it. So Andrade destroyed Humberto right out of the gate with a back elbow. His own version, I guess, of the Judas effect. Got a near fall to start the match. We've seen these two wrestle a lot of late. Tonight, it just felt kind of played out. Andrade went to give Carrillo another hammerlock DDT out on the exposed concrete. It wasn't really concrete. It looked like boards maybe covering ice underneath. Carrillo, he countered with a backdrop back inside, flies back out of the ring. I think he went over the referee and took out Andrade. Back inside, diving crossbody block by Carrillo. This guy was flying around. Every which way, this guy was flying around. The antagonist, thank you for the $20. He said, I manscaped my balls for this. Funny you should mention that. Just wait a couple of minutes. You'll see why that's funny to me. So they trade roll-ups back and forth. Andrade grabs a fistful of tights on the last roll-up. He gets the pin to retain the title. Yeah, typical heel finish, hooking the tights. Referee didn't see it. I'll go 3.5 out of 5. The work was good, but for God's sakes, I mean, this should spell the end. The end of Humberto Carrillo in the U.S. title picture. Even though Andrade, he did cheat, and that may be the story they fall back on. He did cheat to win, but who cares? The fact is, he lost again. He lost again. This man needs to be kept far away from that United States Championship. But it's WrestleMania season, so they love getting everybody on the show. So I still probably see them doing a four-way. I still see them doing a four-way with Andrade and Mysterio and Carrillo and Angel Garza. And look, probably could be one of the highlights of WrestleMania, but it's a joke. It's a running joke at this point. If this guy kept being fed title shot after title shot, who does he have dirty pictures on is what I want to know. Who does he have pictures on? Paul Heyman? Does he have pictures of Paul Heyman in an inappropriate position with Brock Lesnar backstage? I mean, there's a visual for you. It was now time for the first Elimination Chamber match of the night for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And we had The Miz and John Morrison. We had The Usos. We had The New Day, Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, and Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. New Day and Usos begin the match. Otis was in his pod. And Otis, you would think Otis would be very upset about the whole situation with Mandy Rose, but Otis was dancing to the New Day's music. He was having a good time in that pod. And New Day was wearing special white gear in honor of the injured Xavier Woods. 1 year ago, I want to point this out to everybody, in case you forgot, because a lot happens in the course of a year. But 1 year ago, Kofi Kingston came within a hair of winning the Elimination Chamber against Daniel Bryan. He fell just short of winning the championship. Now, he did go on to win the title from him at WrestleMania. It was a great moment. But how the mighty have fallen in a year since then. 1 year later, it is but a distant memory. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, of course, they won the right on SmackDown Friday night to enter the match last. There was a clunky spot early on where Kofi, he slipped off the top rope. A rare misfire for Kofi Kingston. He kind of collided with one of the Usos. Lucha House Party, they were the first team released from their pod. And Lince Dorado, Gran Metalik, and Kofi Kingston, they fight on top of one of the pods. Lucha House Party, they shove Kofi off the pod. Dorado, Metalik, they each hit a dive. One dive out onto the Usos, the other dive out onto the New Day. Miz and Morrison, the champs, are out next. Heavy Machinery followed out of their pod. The big spot of the match, well, I guess one of the two. There were two big, real climactic spots here in this match. And the first one came from Lince Dorado. Everybody is brawling down below. Lince is hanging from the top of the chamber. He has climbed up to the top, and he has navigated his way to the middle. And he's just hanging there. He's dangling. And he's swinging himself back and forth like he's doing trapeze. And finally, he swings himself into a shooting star press, falls all the way down, 18 feet, 20 feet, whatever it is, and wipes everybody out, everybody except Heavy Machinery. He wipes everybody out. And then immediately, as soon as he wipes everybody out, big pop, Lucha House Party, wow, look at these guys. Otis and Tucker hit the compactor on Gran Metalik. Adios, Lucha House Party. They are promptly eliminated. Begone, job boys. You had your moment. I can picture Vince McMahon muttering this into his headset in the back. So now it's time for Ziggler and Roode to enter the match. Otis and Tucker, they're waiting for him. They're licking their chops. They're chomping at the bit to get their hands on these guys. And Ziggler and Roode want no part of this. They're trying to pry the doors open, and they're doing everything they can to hold this door shut. Otis, there were loud Otis chants in this match. Otis is over. This story is working on SmackDown to get this guy. And Tucker, too. I'm going to give him his props in a second as well. But Ziggler and Roode, eventually, they do make their way out. They all gang up on Heavy Machinery. And Dolph climbs to the top of one of the pods to try to escape Otis. Otis ain't going to climb up after him. Tucker, though, he does. Tucker climbs up on top of the pod. He tosses Ziggler down into the waiting arms of Otis, who lays him out. Tucker, meanwhile, they almost missed it, but Tucker does a cannonball dive from the top of the pod down onto everybody else. Otis is not the only one who deserves some love on this team. Tucker has impressed me. Tucker is holding up his end. I'm more impressed by Tucker as far as, you know, you kind of look at the team and say, oh man, Otis is the star. Everybody loves Otis. And I feel the same way about Street Profits when it comes to Montez Ford. I give Montez Ford a lot of love. He's a great athlete, very charismatic. If anybody's going to be left behind in that team eventually, it's going to be Angelo Dawkins. You know, and Angelo Dawkins seems like a cool guy, but that's just a fact. But with Otis and Tucker, I think Tucker could be something eventually when these guys split. Hopefully he's not the Jannetty of the team. But he was, you know, very impressive, I thought, here in this match. Did that dive. So Otis had to fight Ziggler and Roode. He had to fight these two guys off on his own. He puts down Bobby Roode. And Ziggler is standing over by one of the pods. And Otis charges at Dolph. Dolph sidesteps him. And Otis crashes through the outer pane of glass, or whatever that material is, out to the floor. The pod door was open. So contrary to what some people were saying online, oh, he went through the glass twice. No, he didn't, because the door on the inside of the chamber, if you go back and watch, it looks like it was already open. Just FYI. Not a big deal, but minor detail. But he crashes through the outer pane and falls to the floor. And it looked cool. Otis is dead. He's not moving. Tucker's going over and kind of peeking his head out of the chamber and saying, get up! Get up, Otis, get up! He turns his attention to Dolph and Bobby Roode. And he's fighting them off. Ziggler catches a super kick on him, and Roode connects with the glorious DDT. Tucker is finished. Tons of heat. When they pinned Tucker, the people were not happy. That got some of the biggest heat on the entire, outside of the main event. It got some of the biggest heat on the entire show. So the New Day, they immediately lay out Roode and Ziggler. Stereo Uso splashes follow off each of the pods in opposite corners. One onto Dolph, one onto Roode. They're gone. We're down to the champs, Miz and Morrison, the New Day, and the Usos. Usos and New Day, they gang up on Miz and Morrison, then finally they turn on each other. Kofi, poor Kofi, Kofi misses a dive off the top rope onto one of the, now he's on one of the pods. He does a dive, Jey Uso I think it was, he moved out of the way. Kofi crashes and burns, and Miz and Morrison, they scurry like rats back in, they cover Kofi, and they pin him. And just like that, the New Day is gone. What a hilariously pathetic way to eliminate a former WWE champion. The man who won the WWE title at WrestleMania last year. He got the big pyro celebration 6 months. This guy was WWE champion and largely protected. It's not like he had a Rey Mysterio run where they just jobbed him out every month. And ever since Brock Lesnar beat him on that first Fox SmackDown back in October, 8 seconds, not one move, boom, pin, done, back to the tag team ranks. And it was a weak way to pin this guy, but just like that, boom, Kofi, not Big E, Kofi is the one to take the fall. I just thought, I'm watching this and I'm just thinking to myself, it was a very weak way to get rid of somebody who just only a few months ago was the top champion on SmackDown. It's just amazing for me to think about it. But I was also thinking about the Elimination Chamber. This just is not Kofi Kingston's event. Right? Didn't he get attacked 1 year? I mean, he lost last year. But didn't he get attacked 1 year before entering the chamber by Edge? Was he the one? I think he was the one that Edge attacked, took his spot. Edge went on to win the Elimination Chamber. It's probably like 10 years ago. The Elimination Chamber is like kryptonite for poor Kofi Kingston. So it came down to the Usos, Miz and Morrison. And they did this kind of an interesting finish, I guess, where Miz and Morrison ended up pinning Jey Uso at the same time. And Miz's feet were on the ropes, which is legal in an Elimination Chamber match. And so the champions retain. I'll go 3.5 out of 5 on this. It was not, you know, it picked up in the last few minutes. People were into the Otis stuff for sure. They wanted to see him get his hands on Dolph Ziggler. Hopefully the big payoff comes at WrestleMania. As chamber matches go, and I've had a lot of really positive things If you've listened to my show, you know this. In fact, I've voted for some of these chamber matches as, you know, match of the year. Not the match of the year, but like top 10 match of the year some years in recent years. This is not going to be one of those years. As chamber matches go, this is not one of the better ones that they've done. But the Lince Dorado spot I thought was cool. I enjoyed Otis and Tucker. I'm willing to go 3.5 out of 5 on this. I think that's fair. Let's play catch up here with some of your super chats. What's going on, man? We got so many messages scrolling on by. I can't even read them all. I would love to read them all, but you guys are flying by here. There's one of the new super chats you see on your screen. There's a whole bunch of new ones that I found. They come up randomly, other than the designated dollar amounts I mentioned. So I have no idea what's popping up or when. Heel Lucas, thank you for the $10. Strong Phoenix with $5. Says Batman is probably enjoying himself in the Batcave watching this pay-per-view. All right. I feel like there's an inside joke I'm not getting there. Kev, oh my God, with the $4.99 super chat. Can you please say the Butcher and the Bunny and the Blade in the voice? No, I can't. Harold Warren, thank you for the $15. Says, I suppose WWE rehired Vince Russo as the head writer. You know, I hate to say this, but they didn't, because if they did, we would not have gotten a main event like this. I will say that about Russo. I would have to think that even Vince Russo would look at that main event and go, what the fuck, bro? Bro, what is that, bro? What is that main event, bro? I don't know what he would have done, but it would have been a hell of a lot more entertaining than what we got tonight. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. Got a lot of new subs tonight, too. A lot of new subscribers. Ryan W., thank you for the $10. And John Falchetta, also with the $2. And Moshmaster D, with the $5. Charlie Caruso introduced Natalia for an interview backstage. And, yeah, it's funny. In my notes, I just wrote, most awkward 3 seconds that you will ever see. And now that I have seen the main event, I can no longer say that. Because you talk about awkward periods of time that go by. You have not seen awkward periods of time go by like we saw tonight in that chamber main event. But here, as is usually the case with these WWE interviews, please welcome my guest at this time, Natalia. And the camera pans over, and there's Natty. And she stands, and she looks off into the distance, and it's like, it's a television show. So in the script, it probably says, pause 5 seconds for crowd reaction, right? It's supremely embarrassing when you do that, and there's no crowd reaction. There was dead silence, but she stood there anyway. They were waiting for a reaction. The reaction never came. Poor Natty. What are you going to do? So Charlie asks Natty about what happened to Beth Phoenix on Raw Monday night, her tag team partner, laid out by Randy Orton. I wish Randy Orton would have come out and RKO'd every single one of those women in the main event tonight, too. He would have gotten a bigger pop than The Undertaker did. That would have been a hell of a finish to this show. You want to send the crowd home happy? That would have sent the crowd home happy. So Natty says that she's talking about family, and she says, tonight I unleash my legacy. What the fuck does that even mean? This entire segment was so stupid. What does that even mean? Tonight, I unleash my legacy. What does that mean? Release the Kraken. I don't know. It's all gibberish. This entire segment was cringe city. Holy shit. AJ Styles, save us, please. AJ Styles against Aleister Black. No disqualification. Anderson and Gallows were outside in AJ's corner. I was shocked. I will say I was shocked. I was genuinely surprised by the lack of crowd response, by the lack of crowd energy, given that you had AJ Styles and Aleister Black in the ring. And AJ and Aleister are two of the biggest names on the Monday Night Raw brand. And aside from certain big spots that they did, the crowd couldn't even really come alive for this match. They just weren't. It was almost like, hey, we got tickets. Ah, shit, we got to go to the show. And they just weren't feeling it all night long. They were not feeling it. Usually Philly, Chicago, like these are the big cities that you think of. And that was not the case tonight. So Styles grabbed a kendo stick early. He got a few shots in on Aleister. Black set up a table outside the ring. AJ hit him with a chair, though, before he could use it. Calf crusher inside by AJ. Black is reaching, trying to grab the kendo stick that's laying on the mat. He grabs it, and he uses it on AJ to force a break. AJ connects with a phenomenal forearm. Aleister kicks out. Tried for a tombstone. AJ mocking the Undertaker. He tried for a tombstone. Aleister escaped. And they spilled out onto the floor. They were over by the announce tables. They finally did make use of that table. Excuse me. They finally did make use of the table. Man, I got to get a drink here. I'm trying to steamroll through this pay-per-view here as quickly as I can because there really isn't much to talk about here. Maybe I should just sit here. If I want to recreate one of the spots in the main event, maybe I'll just sit here for about 2.5 minutes and I won't make a sound. I'm not going to say a word. I'll just sit here. You'll hear nothing but silence. And that will be my recreation of the Elimination Chamber match in the main event. I'm not going to do that. I won't put you through that. But Aleister hit a Meteora on AJ Styles through a table. So he gets him back in the ring. He's setting up for Black Mass. And Strong Phoenix says a little bit of the bubbly. It's actually a little bit of the Poland Spring. It's a bottle of water. It's nothing exciting. Yes, I managed to find bottles of water. Not everybody has hoarded all the bottles of water at the fairway that's nearby where I live. The toilet paper is gone, so I'll have to use my hand, but at least I have bottled water. So he's setting up for Black Mass, and the OC finally jumps in the ring. It's a no disqualification match, but they waited patiently. 15, 20 minutes, they waited very patiently to interfere in this match. So they swarm Aleister, and the funniest part of this whole thing, I don't know how many of you picked up on this, but as they're swarming Black and they're ganging up on him and they're beating him up, Luke Gallows is punching his own partner about half a dozen times. He was punching Carl Anders. I just shook my head. Which is one of those nights. I just shook my head. So Undertaker's gong finally hits. You knew it was coming. And the crowd in Philadelphia, for the first time all night, truly came alive. The loudest that they had been all night long for the Undertaker's arrival. I don't know what that says about this crowd. I don't know what that says about modern-day WWE, that they died for everything else and they only came alive for the Undertaker. But there it is. The Undertaker's gong hits. Everybody comes alive. The lights go out. The lights come back on. And we see the Undertaker, he's got Anderson and Gallows goozled by the throat. Both men are down on their knees. This is getting very sexual here. He's got them goozled. They're on their knees. What kind of stream is this? For a second there, with what he was wearing, when the lights first came back on, and I'm looking at what the Undertaker is wearing, he looked eerily like Ministry Undertaker to me. He looked like, he didn't have the goatee and everything, but he looked like Ministry Undertaker there for a second. So Styles comes off the ropes with a phenomenal forearm. Undertaker turns around and catches him by the throat, delivers a better choke slam than the one he gave to him in Saudi Arabia. Lights go out again. Undertaker vanishes under the ring. And I wonder, you know, is the Undertaker under there for the rest of the show? I would imagine that when they went to their little commercial break period, plugging all their shit, they probably put a hood over him or something, maybe, and got him out of there. I don't know. Maybe he was under there the entire time. Can you imagine the Undertaker having to lay under that ring with a freaking piss jug next to him for the rest of this pay-per-view? Listening to the apathy from the crowd, listening to the boos, listening to the CM Punk chants at the beginning of the main event. Should have called an audible and had the Undertaker gong go off again. Lights come back on. He's in the ring with Shayna Baszler. So the lights come back on. Undertaker's gone now, of course. Black Mass finishes it. Aleister Black picks up the win. I'll go 3 out of 5. I'm going to go 3 out of 5 on this. Undertaker and Aleister Black against the entire OC seems more likely to me than just a straight singles match at WrestleMania. I think Aleister Black, he belongs in a prominent match at WrestleMania. And I was talking about this earlier with Daniel Bryan. I just don't see, if it's not something involving these guys, then what is it? You know, what is the match? What is the obvious match for Aleister Black at WrestleMania? If it's not this, there is no other match. Murphy and the Messiah. Actually, before I get to that, I really got to play catch up here. So we're going to get to the Raw Tag Team title match up next here in just a second. Miracle Mark, thank you, brother, for the $1.99. I appreciate it. He says, I hope Asuka leaves when her contract expires. Well, you might get your wish. You may well get your wish. You know, there's rumors about Io Shirai and Kairi Sane might go back to Japan. So, who knows? Asuka may join them. Urban Tiger, thank you for the $5. Let's see, we got AOE, the $1.99, $1.98. I was off by a penny. BW Rojas, thank you for the $2, my friend. Harold Warren, 12 years. We just celebrated our 12-year anniversary of the podcast last year. So, $12 in celebration of 12 years. Chicken Noodle Jackson. Oh, that's an awesome name. Man, I wish I would have thought of that for a PayPal nickname. Chicken Noodle Jackson with the $10. That main event was the definition of a dog rubbing its butt across the carpet and expecting you to thank it afterwards. It's quite the visual. Spank Ross, thank you for the $1.99. Dor Zach, hope I pronounced that right, for the $2. And Gavin Amy with the $13, says, my God, Stardom, no people. This is far better than WWE Elimination Chamber, and also WrestleMania this year is a waste of time. You know, that's a great point. I watched part of that Stardom is the Japanese women's promotion, and because of the whole virus thing, they had a show the other night, live and free on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, Empty Arena, Corkin Hall, not totally empty. There were like a few people in the background, media people, but basically empty. No fans. They did an entire show, empty arena. I think that crowd was more lively than the crowd tonight in Philadelphia. And that was an empty arena show. So we had Murphy and the Messiah against the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Team titles. Similar to their TV match, where the Street Profits won the belts, I'd say a notch or two below. This was not as fun as that match. When AOP tried to interfere, Viking Raiders ran down, they brawled with them to the back. Montez Ford, he tried for a frog splash, the Messiah got the knees up, he went for the stomp. Ford escaped, that's funny. There was a Tower of Doom spot in here where the Street Profits tried for a superplex on Murphy, and the Messiah slipped under all of them. Kevin Owens, he emerged from the crowd. I thought it was John Moxley for a second. Here's Kevin Owens. He's got a box of popcorn in his hand. He's eating the popcorn. He's sitting on top of the Spanish announce table. He's just watching. He's a casual observer. I'm not booked. I'm just going to sit here and eat my popcorn. And Rollins walks over and he throws a handful of popcorn in Rollins' face. Angelo Dawkins out of nowhere. He body checks Seth Rollins. Ah, shit. I didn't want to say his name. He body checks the Messiah. I gotta keep catching myself. Body checks him into the barricade. And they slam Murphy into the barricade. And Murphy gets rolled back into the ring. Montez Ford with the frog splash for the 1-2-3. And after the match, Owens hits Rollins with a stunner. And he dumps his popcorn onto Murphy as he walks out. You know, I have to say this. I like Kevin Owens. I really do. I like Kevin Owens. I'm a fan of his. And I didn't have an issue with him taking the move over, the Stone Cold Stunner, you know, getting Stone Cold's blessing. I think Austin gave him his blessing for it and everything. It's such an iconic move that no matter what, it will always be associated with Steve Austin. Even if Kevin Owens gets the move over in a way that, you know, he certainly hasn't so far, it will always be associated with Stone Cold Steve Austin. It will always be associated with the Attitude Era, stunning Vince McMahon and The Rock. And The Rock overselling it and all that stuff. He hits that stunner now, most weeks. It doesn't get much of a reaction. And I look at that and I go, man, the stunner should be getting a big reaction. This just doesn't feel right. I almost wish he would just stop using it. I really wish he would just stop using it. He's not going to. He's not going to listen to my dumb opinion here, but I don't know. I just remember when the stunner was used, everybody would come up out of their seats. It was such a big deal. And the other person would go flying through the air. And Rollins, hey, I got to give Rollins credit. He sold the shit out of that stunner. He bounced up into the air. But it just doesn't get the reaction that that move should get. I just feel like it's not being done any justice. It just doesn't feel right to me. We've got a few more here to get through. Ali Kokar, thank you for the $1.99. Bobby AJ for the $5. The antagonist, I mentioned him earlier with the $20. Raw is Jimbo, thank you for the super chat. Strong Phoenix, dropping some dough as well. Bucci, 973 with the $5. I thought there were some great wrestling matches on the show. Main event was horrible. Shayna is not getting over. And we know Vince has no patience. Heel Lucas, thank you for the $4.99. Zacharu Turner, Lonnie Jones, Tibby with the $5. And Zangstu102, thank you for the $2 as well. Braun Strowman against Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn in a 3-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship. Sami, with two of his greatest opponents, some of the best matches of his WWE or NXT career, have been with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. And Sami's out there, he's wearing hiking pants, basically. You know, again, he's got the Fidel Castro look that he's been rocking on TV the last few weeks. He's wearing the hiking pants. The rules here for this match were, as I look at Krang Corbin on my screen, the heels had to tag in and out per the rules, which I hate. I just think that's stupid. Sami was teasing, starting out first against Braun. He had promised in a promo before the match, you guys stay on the apron. I got this. I'm going to start out here with Braun Strowman. Of course, he's a liar, so he quickly tagged out to Nakamura. And Strowman was so focused on getting his hands on Sami Zayn, he took his eye off the ball. And the heels took advantage. At one point, Sami had fled underneath the ring. Probably saw the Undertaker under there. Try to get away from Braun Strowman. We got a Braun Strowman specialty. Everybody has their special move. Bret Hart would take that corner chest bump, right? That corner whip into the turnbuckles. I feel like everybody's got that signature spot, that signature move that they take. For Braun, he runs into things. And what he usually runs into is the ring post. Shoulder first. In almost every single competitive match. If he's in a squash, it won't happen. But every single like pay-per-view match that he's in, he runs into the frickin' ring post. And that's exactly what happened here. Not only did it happen once, he got posted twice. And while he's bent over between the ropes, Nakamura's on the apron. He gives him a running Kinshasa into the ring post. Sami tags himself in. And Nakamura and Cesaro, they lift up Braun Strowman for a suplex. They held him there for about 2 or 3 seconds. Long enough for Sami to hit the Huluva kick. And Sami Zayn pins Braun Strowman to win the Intercontinental Championship. Big Show will not be happy about this. You saw Big Show's Broken Skull Sessions interview? He was talking about how he gives guidance to some of the people on the roster. He had to pull Braun Strowman aside one day. This is probably years ago. But he pulled Braun aside one day because he saw Braun take a clothesline from Sami Zayn. He said, you don't ever do that again. You're a giant. You don't bump like that. You don't take a clothesline for somebody like Sami Zayn. And now he lost to Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn has now won his first title on the main roster in WWE at long last. I cannot dislike Sami being the champion. And now they can build weeks of television off of Braun trying to get his hands on Sami Zayn. And Sami, you know, narrowly avoiding him every week. And they could do that all the way to WrestleMania if they want to. I'm shocked that they did not have Braun beat all three heels. Shocked in a good way. I thought that they were for sure going to have him just bury all three heels here on this show. And then have him go defend against Sheamus at WrestleMania. I don't know what they're going to do with Sheamus. But I like this. I like the finish. The match itself was nothing special. I go 2 out of 5 on the match. But I like the finish. And let's grab a few more of your super chats here before I get to the main event. We are getting to the main course here. Michael Gross, thank you for the $5. And Jam3SJH3. I think that might be Deadpool. Thank you for the $20. Attention Fan, $1.99. Thank you. James Adair, thank you for the super chat. Michael Smith, Strong Phoenix again. The Cheeseburger, 666 with the $10. Says, reading the Elimination Chamber results gave me the coronavirus. Oh, well, I hope not. You better be self-quarantining if that's the case. Garrus Vicarian, thank you for the $4.99. And Magician Sapphire with the $10. Shame Braun lost, but happy Sammy won his first main roster title. I'm just happy that we got Sammy back in the ring. When was the last time he had a match on TV? It's probably been, what, 6 months? 7 months? It's been a long time since we've seen Sami Zayn in a match. And his first match back, boom, Intercontinental Championship. I like it. So then we had the main event. If you could call it that. I even hesitate to call it the main event. Elimination Chamber match for the right to go on to challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. We have Shayna Baszler, Asuka, Natalya, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. Sarah Logan, as I mentioned earlier, she gets her first ever WWE pay-per-view main event. Why am I singling out Sarah Logan? Because Sarah Logan has no business being in a pay-per-view main event. I'm sure she's a lovely lady, but this is just ridiculous. Ruby Riott and Natalya, they start things out. Sarah Logan was the first one out of the pods. And before I even get to that, Ruby and Natty are starting this match. And Natty is going after her. She's being very vicious with Ruby Riott. She's got a little oomph in her offense. I guess she's out there. What's she doing? She's showing us our legacy. Her legacy. What the fuck am I even saying? I still want to know what that means, by the way. Did you guys see Natalya's legacy tonight? Because I didn't see it. I must have missed it. Was it big? Was it fat? Was it thin? What does the legacy look like? I know there's a legacy faction. I know one of the members of Legacy is over in AEW right now. Did Cody make an appearance and I missed it? What legacy did Natty show tonight? I'd love to know. Let me know in the chat. So people were so into this opening sequence. The opening with Natty and Ruby Riott that they chanted CM Punk here in Philly. Sarah Logan was the first one out of the pods. And she and Ruby ended up on top of one of the pods, with Natty is down below. And Ruby is trying now to escape back down. She's going to climb back down to get away from Sarah Logan. Natty reaches up. She power bombs her down onto the mats. And Logan comes flying off the top of the pod with a high cross body and wipes out both women. And on the way down, her knee caught Natty right in the face. I mean, hard. I don't think it drew blood, but she hit her hard in the face with that knee on the way down. Shayna Baszler was in next, and within seconds, she put out Sarah Logan with the Karafuta clutch. Same with Ruby Riott. Both women are gone. Couldn't have been 30 seconds. Within 30 seconds of each other, both women are gone. And I'm starting to think to myself, all right, here we go. Here's some of that dominance that you want to see from Shayna Baszler. She's a killer. She's a cage fighter. It makes sense. She shouldn't be in there selling for long periods of time with fucking Sarah Logan, for God's sakes. She should be putting these women down. And that's what she did. She put down Sarah Logan. She put down Ruby Riott. And it continued on from there. She goes after Natty. She's repeatedly slamming Natty, one of the pod doors into Natty. She's opening it and shutting it and slamming it on her. And then she puts Natty out with the Karafuta clutch. I'm not so sure that Natty ever had the chance to show us her legacy. I don't think we saw her legacy. Did you? Again, please let me know in the chat. I feel like I missed something here. Where was her legacy? Shayna is having a grand old time in this ring. Asuka is in the pod. She's shouting stuff in Japanese, which is probably the most entertaining thing that's happened in this match so far. But this was so awkward. I don't know who thought this would be a good idea. You could say the same thing about the Royal Rumble match, right? If you have, like, Brock Lesnar dominated this year. I don't even think in all of the periods of downtime in the Royal Rumble match that there were periods of downtime as long as this. From the point that Brock would eliminate somebody to the point that the next person came out. It's felt like forever. Shayna is just standing there. She's staring at Asuka in the pod. She's posing. She's pacing back and forth. waiting for the next person to come out. The crowd is getting restless. They're booing. They're chanting stuff. This is supposed to be entertaining. Finally, Liv Morgan comes out. And she probably wishes that she didn't, because Shayna Baszler absolutely slaughtered this poor girl. She, you know, got her down, grabbed her by the legs. She swung her into the chain link fence. And then she swung her head first, into one of the pods. Into one of the pod, the glass on one of the pods. And it sounded like she murdered her. She pulled a Minoru Suzuki, or a New Jack, and she murdered this girl. And then somehow Liv Morgan came back to life. But she got Liv Morgan in the clutch right in front of Asuka, right in front of Asuka's pod. Liv Morgan was, her feet were up off the ground. She was being choked out. And Liv Morgan was gone. And then again, after Liv Morgan is eliminated, nothing. We have a long period. I didn't time it. I should have timed it with my stopwatch on my phone. It may have only been 60 seconds. It felt like double that. Of nothing, though. You can't... How can you justify this? How can you justify in the main event of this show, which is dying a death, let's just have Shayna Baszler stand there and stare at Asuka. That'll keep people interested. That'll be exciting. There's our main event. So for the second time, she stood there. And the crowd got restless, and people didn't know what to do, and it was very awkward. And I can only imagine these poor wrestlers. Asuka's standing in the pod. She's trapped. She's basically like self-quarantined in one of these Elimination Chamber pods. She's probably thinking to herself, this match is dying. Let me out of here. Shayna Baszler's probably thinking, oh, shit. I'm doomed. You know? But this was terrible. Asuka finally enters the match. And they had, a back-and-forth exchange. It was a little awkward there at the beginning. But, you know, Asuka hit the hip attack and went for a backslide pin. She tried to get the Asuka lock on. Baszler rolled through. Baszler went for the Kirifuda clutch. Asuka countered into the Asuka lock. Back and forth we went. And Shayna slammed Asuka into the chains. Again tried for the Kirifuda clutch. And Asuka rolled her into a pin attempt for a near fall. And Baszler, she landed a knee, locked in the clutch. And that was it. Asuka passes out. Shayna Baszler wins the match. I'm shocked, stunned, I tell you, that Shayna Baszler is going to WrestleMania to challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. To show you that everything about this was so awkward and just poorly conceived of. It's bad enough we had these long periods of awkwardness and just nothing going on in this main event. They showed Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was there. Becky Lynch was in Philadelphia, unless they taped that in a different city and they spliced it in. She was there. She was in the back, and at one point they showed her watching on one of the monitors and, you know, one of the screens in the back. So I thought to myself, well, all right, this match is just dying a death here. The match is over. Surely they're not just going to go off the air like this. They've got to save this somehow. They're going to send Becky Lynch out. They're going to have a face-to-face. Becky's going to get inside the chamber. Maybe they'll go at it. Maybe Vince McMahon will call an audible and say, Becky, get out there and you guys just go at it. And we're going to have officials try to pull you guys off and just have a big brawl. I'll be honest with you. Even if they had done that in front of this crowd, I don't think it would have worked. I don't think these people were just not into what they were seeing. I don't even think sending Becky Lynch out to that ring would have made a difference. But the fact that they didn't even do that, if she really was there, to not send her out for some kind of confrontation is ridiculous. How do you not send her out there? So the copyright box came on, and that was it. They went off the air. A horrible finish to this pay-per-view. And as far as the match itself goes, you know, 1 out of 5, what would I go for the chamber match? You know, to be honest, maybe 2.5. And maybe that's being generous. I can't go higher. That was one of the worst Elimination Chamber matches I've ever seen. That was one of the worst Elimination Chamber... I can't say worst because I can't remember all of them, but I'm thinking back and that's got to be one of the worst Elimination Chamber matches. And anticlimactic. Uneventful. Predictable. Everything about it. One of the worst Chamber matches they've ever done. So let's go to the voting poll on Twitter. You can only imagine what these results are going to reflect. But maybe you guys will surprise me. That is a little bit, that sounds about right. 36% thumbs up, 64% thumbs down so far with 2,400 votes in. You know what? That sounds about right. You know, like, I enjoyed Sami Zayn winning the Intercontinental title. I thought AJ and Alistair ended up having a, you know, ended up having a good match. The other chamber was better than the main event. But the opening match, to me, was the highlight of the entire show. So there was some good stuff on this show. You know, even very good in terms of that opening match. But I think that the feeling, it was just a feeling of apathy throughout the night. Like, why am I watching this? Why is this show even happening? What is the purpose? What is the point? They were going to do a men's elimination chamber match with Roman Reigns and all these people. It would have been, look, that match would have died too in front of this crowd. But they canceled it. They didn't even have it. None of those guys were even on the show. This show is treated like a complete and total afterthought. And the effort and thought that was put into at least that main event pretty much reflected that. I just thought that this was a show that just, it existed and it had no business even taking place. It did not have to happen. There was no real point. There was no real purpose to this show. Now, tomorrow night on Raw, Edge is back. So we're going to get Edge's big return promo. Maybe he'll have a confrontation with Randy Orton. I assume they'll set that WrestleMania match up. So we'll see how that goes. And we just put this show in the rearview mirror. I mean, there's really not a whole lot more to say about it beyond what I've already said. In fact, I've probably gone longer than I had to. I could have wrapped this review up in probably 10 minutes, given how important this show turned out to be. But that main event, holy shit. Talk about a misfire. And I do feel bad for Shayna Baszler because she, you know, her whole gimmick, she's a shooter. She's got the fighting background. She's got the submission. She can torture you. She can work over certain body parts. And then she's going to choke you out. That's her gimmick. It worked for her in NXT. She was a dominant champion in NXT. It's a big deal when Rhea Ripley finally won that belt and took the belt from her. And even when Kairi Sane was, I think, the first person to take the title away from Shayna. It was a big deal, too. And it can work on the main roster. But if she's going to go out there and the crowd is going to have these kinds of reactions, I really think the layout of the match, it's not, I can't lay all the blame on her. The layout of the match and those periods of awkwardness, my, you know, and you've got Natty and you've got these people, they're good wrestlers, but nobody wants to see them in the main event. Why are they out there? Why are they out there in the main event of the show? So they didn't do any favors for Shayna Baszler, even though they kept her looking strong, which they should have. But it just kind of blew up in their face. I don't know that anything would have really been able to save this show tonight, to be honest with you. So, on that note, let's find out. Actually, Turtlehead, thank you for the super chat. W.S. Fletcher, thank you for the $10 as well, brother. I appreciate it. And Lord, now, people made fun of me last time for saying this person's name. Clearly, this is based off some kind of a character, maybe from a TV show or anime or I don't know. I said Lord Frieza. Am I mispronouncing this? Is it Frieza? Is that what it is? You've got to let me know these things. I'm not up on all these references here. I sound like an old man now. Lord Frieza, thank you for the super chat. Somebody in the chat will wise me up. They'll smarten me up here in a second as far as the proper pronunciation. I don't want to keep mispronouncing this guy's name when he donates or calls in. Come on. Let's take some phone calls here. Let your voices be heard about the Elimination Chamber. I want to hear what you guys thought of this show tonight. We got all the lines jammed up. So I'm going to try to get to as many of these as I can. And we're going to start with 484. You're on the air.
Hey, Salamos. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I've seen better pay-per-views, though. I'll tell you that.
You weren't there. I was.
You were there?
Yeah, I just got home about 10 minutes ago.
Well, I've got to ask you about this Philadelphia crowd. What was going on with this crowd tonight?
Well, as a Philly native, I can tell you that the crowd was really just kind of bored for a lot of it. I mean, I didn't elect to go. My sister, who's 16 years old and hasn't been to pay-per-view before, she wanted to go really badly. And I'm asking, I'm like, are you sure? because AEW Dynamite's coming to Philadelphia next week. And, you know, and she's like, no, I really want to go. I'm like, okay. So we go, and, you know, the first few matches, they're good. I like Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak and Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo. But then afterwards, you get to the chamber match, and it's all pretty cool. Well, I feel like after the chamber match, everything just, like, went downhill. The Aleister Black and AJ Styles match, I remember looking over at them and at her, and she was just bored. Like, she was just sitting there on her hands, on her phone and whatnot. And then when Undertaker came out, everybody just went wild. That was the biggest pop of the entire night. And then after Undertaker was gone, it just went back downhill. Like, no other match after that, I feel like, really got the crowd hyped. And then it got to the main event, and then Shayna just started dropping everybody. And then when you got to... And the worst part, I think, of it all, and you brought it up early, was that when they got to the chamber match and people were going down like flies, there were these long periods of nothing happening. Like, Shayna Baszler be in the ring, posing, and Asuka's, like, taunting her. And it's just like, are you going to start the timer soon? Like, I was... Everyone was just like, what's going on? Are they on commercial break? Like... Well, it just made no sense. You know, that just killed the crowd even more.
Yeah, well, you could see it on TV. And it just puzzled me because I know for a fact with the Royal Rumble sometimes, they say, oh, it's like 2-minute intervals or 90-second intervals. But they're not always 2 minutes. I mean, sometimes they speed them up.
And, yeah, but
you know, it's whatever they want.
It's so stupid because it's like, even if it's a Rumble match, you would think that in this year's Rumble match, there were points where Brock Lesnar was in the ring for a few seconds. He was not in the ring for 2.5 minutes. I counted. There was a period of time, 2.5 minutes passed, where Shane was just in the ring and nothing was happening, and the crowd started booing, and I didn't blame them.
No,
at all.
I don't blame them at all either. And I can't believe they did it not once but twice.
Yeah, I can't believe it either.
Well,
so I'll just say she said she enjoyed it, but you know, you can look on someone's face and tell when they're like trying to live it up and say, oh yeah, I enjoy myself. Yeah, I think she was just like, eh. Like, we were just like, eh.
I've been on dates before where the woman goes, oh yeah, I enjoyed myself, and you could just tell, like, ah, oh, shit, you know. Been there
mm-hmm.
before. Yes. Well,
yeah.
Look,
yeah, it sucks for me because I feel like,
well, let me just say this. As all of us, clearly we are the hardcores watching this show. And if we felt this way about the show, I can't imagine that somebody who's just a casual fan would watch something like that main event. Now, maybe she enjoyed other matches on the show. What'd you think of Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak?
Listen, she's not really a smark, so she didn't really appreciate the catch wrestling like I did. So there were parts where she was really, like, hype, and then there was parts where she was like, eh. Like, the German suplex spot woke her up. And I think it woke everyone up, too, because that was kind of dangerous. But
well, probably woke
other than
Brian
that,
up, though,
match I could say she really enjoyed. Yeah. Other than that, I'd say the match she genuinely enjoyed was the chamber match, because she really loved the Usos.
All right, cool. Well, look, it's good to hear from somebody who is actually at the show and get that perspective on things. So anything else before we move on here?
There's two things. One, coming from a guy who really is at the lowest point when it comes to WWE, I went there and I felt like I had literally no emotional connection to any wrestler on a show not named Asuka. And that's because I've had long-term investment with her. Like, there are points in the show where I literally got up from my seat and just started walking in the halls because I just did not care about anything. That just shows you how sad, like, WWE has gotten with just storylines and booking. Is just really, it's really saddening, honestly.
Yeah.
I pop for the Undertaker. He's like 57 years old. It's really ridiculous. And then the second thing I wanted to say is that it's Frieza, and he's a Dragon Ball Z coach.
Okay, Frieza. I saw the comments in the chat saying Frieza. Okay, so now I know going forward now. It's like Frieza, and I sound like an idiot.
Yeah, you tried. It's fine. It's fine. We understand.
Right.
But other than that, you have a good night, Salmon. So I'm not going to hold you on for too long.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That was Frieza, Lord Frieza. See, I've been smartened up officially now. Now I don't sound like a moron every time. Although there were two people in the chat who said, no, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Say Frieza. It's funny. I will do no such thing. Just Incredible, 00, thank you for the $5. BM Chamblay with the $5 as well, said he accidentally fell asleep. Marcus Metcalf, thank you. Deacon Batista, thank you for the $5. And holy shit. No, that's not his name. But Shai Lu, with the $100 donation, I wish I had that freaking siren sound effect because I'd be banging that thing right now like crazy. Holy shit. His question is, which was worse, or a worse pay-per-view? Hell in a Cell 2019 or Elimination Chamber 2020? I have to tell you that I would have to go with Hell in a Cell just because the only thing from Hell in a Cell that even remotely sticks out to me as being anything worth a damn was the opening match, an actual Hell in a Cell match that lived up to the stipulation, a rare occurrence these days, with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. That was an excellent match. Everything else is a blur, and the main event was just beyond atrocious. That main event made me angry. This main event tonight made me scratch my head. And I just felt nothing but apathy. I didn't feel anger. I felt apathy. So I have to say Hell in a Cell was far worse. But thank you for the $100 super chat. You are the man. Say Goldberg. Bobby Heenan used to say Goldberg is the man. Shai Lu is the man. Let's take another caller here. Let's go to 716. You're on the air.
Good evening, Child Monster. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, sir. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Dan from Niagara Falls, New York, and still awake.
All right, well, we're all awake right now. It's getting almost midnight. Not midnight yet. See, this is Daylight Savings Weekend, so we all lost an hour of sleep, so we're all cranky right now.
No. I don't know if it's a good thing or bad. I would say it's a good thing. I was actually looking more forward to this live stream than I was the pay-per-view.
There's nothing bad about that. No complaints out of me.
Oh, I mean, man.
At least I'm trying to give you guys, look, this is a free stream. I love all the people who are donating, but this is a free stream. You don't even have to pay $9.99 a month for this stream, and I'm giving you more bang for your buck than WWE did tonight. So you're all ahead
of
the game.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine paying $50 for this. I mean, I actually bought, like, you know, even like with the AEW shows, like Revolution, I'm like, oh, is this worth $50? And I go back and, yeah, that was a good show. I'm satisfied. It was money well spent. I could imagine paying $50 for this.
Well, this
but,
is,
you
well,
know, the Drew Gulak.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, that's kind of the problem here is that because all the pay-per-views now are just priced, you know, $9.99, it almost just feels like they just coast. Because they know they don't have to put their best foot forward like maybe they would if it was a $50 pay-per-view. Oh, it's just $9.99. It's just another show. And that's part of the reason why these pay-per-views don't feel special the way that they used to. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, the build-up for this was almost non-existent. I mean, AEW did have, like, those 3 weeks prior and had good build-up and stuff. But outside of the Daniel Bryan Drew Gulak match, which I thought was actually pretty sound technically and stuff, that main event was more of a angle than it was really a main event. And, you know, my condolences to Shayna Baszler in Philadelphia. I mean, this has got to be probably the most boring thing they've seen since that Battleground pay-per-view with Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton in that Punjabi prison match.
Don't remind me of that.
My apologies, sir.
Oh, no.
But I guess some... The only question I have is, like, you know, Friday the 13th is actually around the corner and stuff. I remember you ranking, like, the Halloween movies and stuff. You ever consider ranking the Friday the 13th movies since you share, you know, first name with another Mr. Voorhees?
I do share a name with Mr. Voorhees. I feel like I've done this before, though. I feel there was probably a podcast sometime in the last few years where I think I ranked them. I mean, I could be wrong on that. I'd have to think about that a little bit. I know part three is one of my favorites because he gets the mask. He gets the hockey mask in that one. I'd have to think about that. But I'm open to doing it if somebody wants to send the question in. I've seen all the Friday the 13th movies, including the reboot that they did a few years ago, and all of the Halloween movies. I have not seen all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I was not really a big Freddy guy.
I hear you. But I guess just one more question, I'll let you go. This probably doesn't relate to the pay-per-view, but, like, two potential matches, like, given if Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre win their matches out of WrestleMania, like, which potential matches would you look more the most forward to? Roman Reigns versus Keith Lee or Drew McIntyre versus Walter?
Huh. Roman Reigns and Keith Lee or Drew McIntyre and Walter? Me personally, I would probably say Roman Reigns and Keith Lee, more so just to see Keith Lee in a prominent spot on the main roster. I'm also a little worried, you know, whether or not they would look at him as being, you know, somebody who is a main eventer in their eyes. All I know is he was in the Royal Rumble match, and he got a great reaction. And they treated him with respect in that Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar had this look on his face. Ooh, there's a big boy coming out. And he even bumped for him. I'd like to see Keith Lee in a prominent spot. But Drew and Walter could be a fun match, too. I'm really looking forward to Finn Balor and Walter. I don't know if they're doing it in Tampa. I would hold off and do it in Dublin a month later. They're going to be in Dublin for a UK TakeOver show. That's going to be a hot match. I'm looking forward to that match. And who knows? Finn may be back on the main roster in the next few months, you know? I don't know that he's going to be down in NXT long term. I mean, I guess he could be if he beats Walter and takes the UK title. We may see Finn Balor back on Raw or SmackDown in the next few months. Let's go to 404. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Hey, this is Jay from Atlanta.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, I didn't see the entire event live as it was going on, but I did see some of the show, and I simulcasted the watch-along that WWE had on their YouTube channel with some of their matches, like the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Elimination Chamber match, and Mandy Rose was actually on the watch-along with her commentary.
Well, what did she have
quite
to say?
Convenient that.
Well, what did she have to say about the chamber match with the Otis stuff? Did she have anything to say about that?
She was deflecting mostly because she didn't want to get into deep about the subject. She tried to spin doctor the situation.
Hmm. So it was boring then. Boring watch along. A boring, pointless watch. Even the watch along tonight was pointless on their YouTube channel.
And they had Ricochet on there, which should tell you the sad state of affairs that they
Ricochet.
Have him.
Ricochet. Ricochet. You talk about, yeah, that's gonna be a real draw on the YouTube show. Ricochet, whose value has never been lower than it is today. Ricochet, they have Ricochet on there. That's great. Did he have a bag over his head with little holes cut in so he can see through it?
Oh, he wasn't looking like a New Orleans Saints fan from 1980, back when they were sorry.
He should have had a bag on his head.
That's just something. He was in a well-dressed attire, so to speak.
Okay. Well, hey, maybe his new gig could be that he could sit next to Sam Donaldson, or what's his name? Sam Roberts and Pete, what the guy's name? Peter Rosenberg?
Rosenberg.
Thank you. I don't even know their name. Peter Rosenberg and Sam Roberts, he could be their new buddy. He could sit next to them on the pre-shows and the kickoffs, and he can talk about everybody else's match.
Well, it wouldn't be any worse than what he's got going on right now.
Well, anything else to talk about here before we move along?
Yes, quick question.
Sure.
The mid-card titles, the U.S. and IC titles, to me, they are in just bad shape with the way that they're being booked. And I would like to say that on Raw, they need to start with these rematches between Carrillo and Andrade. They need to do some kind of shipping up or shape out or whatever you want to call it. And with the IC title, I feel like they was just spitballing with trying to give Zayn the IC title, maybe as a good service award or something. But I know there were plenty of people who I read online that said that he did pretty good to finally get a title on the main roster, but it seems a little bit too little too late, on my opinion.
And so little too late for who again? Remind me of who?
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn.
He's been on the main roster at least, 5-6 years?
I think it's more like four, maybe five, probably like 4 years. But, you know, Sami's been hurt. And so he had those injuries. I think he's been okay for a while now. They just have him doing the managerial stuff. But, you know, part of the problem was he did get hurt. So I don't want to lay all the blame on that on WWE because there were injuries involved. It is kind of crazy to think about, though, that he's been on the main roster for 4 to 5 years and never held a championship, I think, of any kind. I don't even think tag team or anything like that. It's kind of crazy to think about. But I do agree that the mid-card titles are, you know, their value is not very high. But sometimes they are, you know, the best matches on the show. Andrade can go out there with Humberto or whoever it is and have a great match. But, you know, again, what does it all mean when you just keep repeating the same matches over and over and over again? When you have all these other guys, even Ricochet or somebody, you know, try out someone new, call up someone new. It's the repetitive matches, and this guy's just going to get another title shot. So what does it mean? Even if he loses, he's going to end up with a title match anyway. So, yeah, they have to do something about that. You know, Heyman has been making certain changes to improve the show. That's something that he's still, assuming he has the influence that people say he does. Still Vince McMahon's show. But that's something that they need to work on for sure.
Oh, yeah. And one final note, the women's match, if Heyman had anything to do with that, he's going to have to go all in with Baszler because the way that she was booked tonight, obviously if she looks weak in any way, shape, or form before WrestleMania, it's going to be egg on his face when they try to put the bill together for her versus Becky.
Well, I mean, the deal's going to be put together tomorrow night. I mean, they pretty much have their match at WrestleMania, so now their job is to make it interesting. I mean, I don't know why they couldn't just tell the story of, listen, you know, she's run through everybody in NXT. Becky's running her mouth. I'm here to shut you up, and I'm here to get a little bit of revenge for what you did to my friend a year ago at WrestleMania. You screwed Ronda Rousey out of the Raw Women's title. That title doesn't belong to you. I'm doing this for Ronda. I'm doing this for me. I'm taking that title from you. Instead, she debuted on TV. She's like a fucking vampire. She's taking a chunk out of this woman's neck. And that was weird. Okay, I guess he wanted her to make a statement of some kind. All right, well, he got people talking. Now they've got to come up with something compelling these next few weeks. She's going out there. Becky Lynch is walking out last week dressed up like Elton John. She's got the fur coat on and the big sunglasses and Jerry Lawler's crown on her head. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Becky Lynch was in the main event of WrestleMania last year. Becky Lynch should not be touching the main event. Becky Lynch should be opening the show with Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania this year. So they've got 4 weeks to come up with some compelling reason for people to want to get behind this match.
Well, right now, it's easier said than done. That's all I can say.
It is. All right, I'm going to let you go, my friend. Thank you for the questions. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you too. Man, I am not feeling this Becky. He brings up a great point. You know, a year ago, I was down, man. I was into the whole Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey thing. Then they put Charlotte in there. I'm like, yeah, whatever. All right. But, all right, cool. Whatever. We still get Becky and Ronda. They had a personal issue going, all the back and forth on social media. And I had a genuine interest in seeing how this match was going to play out. Ronda Rousey had some, you know, she had some good matches in the company. It wasn't like she was going out there and embarrassing herself. And here we are a year later, and I cannot bring myself to care about what they have Becky Lynch doing. So, yeah, I hope they can come up with something engaging and fun as far as building this matchup over these next few weeks. Let's go to, I believe, the state of Ohio. 216, you're on the air.
Yo, what's going on, Sound Monsters, the Lake Erie Heartthrob. A big fan. I've been listening to you for the last 7 or 8 years. I think the show was absolutely horrible. I think the Women's Chamber match honestly should have opened. The SmackDown Chamber for the tag belt should have closed the show. It was just awkward just seeing Shayna just parade around in the ring for about a minute and a half. They should have had a Soul Survivor in that whole match with her to the end, kind of like, you know, make it like a three-way dance. But I don't know, man. Like, the direction of this company right now, it's going downhill, and I hope after WrestleMania, the whole reset button, that's real, but I don't see it happening. But keep it up, brother, man. You do good content. You have good work, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, after WrestleMania, there's been rumors of maybe another draft. You know, maybe they'll shake up the roster a little bit. I haven't heard anything of late about that, but that was being talked about a few weeks ago. You know, but is that really going to accomplish anything? Just to shake the rosters up again? All right, so you know what that's like? You ever play Words with Friends or any kind of Scrabble type game, right? You got your letters in front of you. You can push a button that kind of shakes up all the letters. That's kind of like what they do when they reshuffle the rosters. All right, well, so what? You still have the same letters. It's all about how you put them together. So let's say they do another draft, right? I don't even think they called any NXT people up last time. They just reshuffled the deck. It's going to take more than reshuffling the deck to get people to, you know, be engaged. Just come up with good stories. That's really what it all boils down to. That's what it always boils down to. Anything else is just window dressing. 618. You're on the air. 618.
Hey, Jamal here.
Hey, Jamal.
I remember hearing Natalia say, like, unleashing her legacy, and I was like, and when she got eliminated, I was like, oh, so you, that was you unleashing your legacy? You probably should have kept that leashed. But, that main event just felt so boring. I felt like, when there was one of those long pauses, I literally went down on my phone, went to Twitter, read some tweets, looked back up, and it still felt like there was like a whole minute left. It just felt so boring, and it felt like if watching paint dry would have been more entertaining than those like minutes in between like the people coming in.
Yeah,
was that just me or is?
No, I mean, I went on a whole rant about that before, so you and I are pretty much in agreement on that. I would love to know who thought that was a good idea. It'd be interesting to see if any stories come out about who laid this match out. Who was in charge of the match layout in the main event? Because whoever it was, they did a very poor job tonight. They did not do those women in that match any favors. Imagine what they must have been feeling. They're in the ring. They're on television. They're on live television in front of that crowd. And they're just standing there. And they're probably dying on the inside. They are just dying a death on the inside. Because they're in the middle of all this. And they're the ones getting shit on for this. And it's not their fault. You know, they don't deserve the heat for that. They don't deserve the fire to be aimed at them. It's not their fault. 702, you're on the air.
Hey, Solomon Monster. So, I agree with most of your points about this event. But I want to speak about the rumored shakeup after WrestleMania. I don't think it does much for either brand. I think it's a moot point. I mean, Vince is still controlling both shows basically, and it just never makes sense. You know, I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown consistently in 6 months, so it's one of those situations where I just feel like there's no direction outside of Reigns. They don't really know what the hell they're doing. That's how it feels all the time when I watch it.
Yeah, I mean, look, they changed whatever their plans were. They changed plans, put the belt on Goldberg, just to get it on Roman Reigns. So that's where their focus is. That's their priority. And, you know, you look at the top matches at WrestleMania this year. You've got The Undertaker, you've got Goldberg, John Cena's back against The Fiend. All right, fine, they're telling that story. After WrestleMania's over and all these guys go away, which most of them will, John Cena's going to go away, Undertaker's going to go away, Goldberg's going to go away. Who else? I think I'm missing one legend. Am I missing another legend here who's wrestling on the show? Who am I missing?
I don't know if you're missing anybody.
All right, maybe those are all of the legends this year. They're going to go away. And so WrestleMania is going to come and go, and they're going to have to sort of just recalibrate and figure things out. And like you said, if you want to have a shakeup, have a shakeup. But what is that really going to accomplish? What is that going to change?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny because I listened to your review about Revolution, and last year I actually went to Double or Nothing. Brandi Rhodes reached out to me. My friends reached out to her. I lost my wife last year, and Brandi Rhodes and Cody invited me to Double or Nothing. So I ended up meeting them at Caesar's Palace last year. And, I mean, I was really down on wrestling, and I was just like, please, give me something to distract me for a little while. And, AEW has clearly been the superior product for the past year.
I want WWE to be good because I think competition makes it better for everybody. I think outside of New Japan and Ring of Honor, I mean, I would like to see WWE have consistently good programming, but they just don't. NXT UK, I can't even stand to watch NXT most weeks. I watch NXT UK because it's a different style. But, I mean, just top to bottom, it's like there's no direction. And even tonight's main event, you had it spot on. It was boring. You had 2.5 minutes of Shayna Baszler standing there. I think if at least she pulls the CM Punk move from the Royal Rumble all those years ago with a mic in her hand and cutting a promo, insulting people and insulting the competitors, it's a totally different vibe. But it was just boring. Like, it was just a huge gap.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm sorry to hear about your wife, by the way. That's awful, so I'm sorry to hear that. But that's cool. That sounds like AEW at least, kind of put you up there and you were a Double or Nothing. I was there too, and that was a hell of a show. I mean, you talk about polar opposites from that pay-per-view to this one.
Yeah,
it's like night and day.
Yeah,
but no, that's cool that they were able to do that for you.
I mean, I really hope that you're going to be if you're going to be a Double or Nothing too. I'd love to meet you. You know, I'm actually a New York kid. I'm from Staten Island, so I'd like to buy you a beer and hopefully the Mets can make the playoffs. I'm a Yankees fan, but I feel for you, Sal Monster. It's been a tough year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, every year with the Mets is a tough year, so you kind of hope that the next one coming up is going to be different. I would totally be a Double or Nothing. I'm kind of pissed because I can't go this year. I have a family, actually this year and next year, Memorial Day weekend. I'm already booked up with family stuff, so that sucks, but you'll have to have a beer for me there.
All right, appreciate it, Solomon. So have a good night.
All right, you too, my friend. Yeah, Double or Nothing. I'm bummed out, man. I really had a good time there. And any excuse to go to Vegas. I love going to Vegas. And so all of a sudden, boom, the next 2 years, booked up. Can't go. So pissed. So pissed. Let me play catch up here because we've had some other super chats. Lord Frieza donated again just to make sure that he knew that he forgives me for the poor pronunciation of his name. Lord Frieza, you have my apologies. And thank you for the super chat. Strong Phoenix, thank you for the $2. Vash TS1984 with the $4.99 super chat. Didn't see the show. Says, seems like I was right in that line of thinking. Donating because you are doing God's work. Does that make me a prophet? Prophet Solomonster? Matthew Meditz, thank you for the $5. And your boy Hobo with the $5 super chat as well. Devlin Smith, thank you for the $2. And James Hollins with the $3.99. Screw this brand split. Yeah, a lot of negativity to the brand split, I've noticed from a few people who have sent in emails to me lately. Let's take a few more before we wrap up. Let me go to 404, see if we can get him on here. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Hello?
404, you're on the air.
Hey, Solomon. So this is Rob Solomon from Tacoma, Washington. How are you, sir?
I'm good. And Rob, you know, it's funny. I love hearing from you because you share the exact same name that my father was.
Oh, yeah. That's good shit, man.
My father's name was Robert.
Yeah, I'm one of your oh, well, that's good, man.
Yeah.
My dad's name is Robert, too, so obviously I'm a junior. But, yeah, I'm one of your new members on your Facebook group.
my condolences to you. Funny. My condolences and my apologies. I'm kidding. I kid the group. I love the Facebook. Everybody should join the Facebook group. We got great
that
mods
group
in there.
That group is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I want to say, like, I want to get this out of the way, man. I'm 44. I'm in the demographic of WWE trying to reach back out and grab guys like me who are lapsed fans or who are like casual hardcore fans. Like, I was a hardcore fan all through the 80s, through the New Generation era, Attitude era, Ruthless Aggression. I stopped watching in like 04 because I was deployed and I just couldn't catch back up to it. So now I'm getting slowly back into it. I've been watching pretty closely since like 2012 or whatever, but still sort of lapsed because I just got out of the military like about 5 or 6 years ago. Anyway, that's besides the point. This show didn't do anything to to keep my interest or to get people like me back into the product. Other than a couple matches I was really looking forward to, Gulak Bryan was pretty good. They put on a great match. I don't know if you saw the post-match interview Brian did. It was on YouTube about he was giving props to Gulak and like giving him a good rub, and then he was like, oh, I think I'm going to reach out and get his help. So I think they're going to either be a tag team or something. I don't know, man. And it was weird, but overall the show moved weird. Like, it was a weird like pace to the show. Like, I don't know. It was something missing about this show.
Yeah, well, I mean, just the match order. Just again, looking back on it, I can understand them wanting to end with the chamber match because the name of the show is Elimination Chamber. The caller a couple minutes ago made a good point. I wonder if it would have been more well received had they ended with the tag team chamber, although both matches ended up with a heel going over, so you weren't going to have kind of the happy finish. If it were up to me, looking back, I mean, 2020's hindsight, I'm looking at this pay-per-view, I'm ending the show with AJ and Aleister Black, because, you know, after the Undertaker response and then Aleister Black hitting the black mass, and, you know, he's getting more and more over each week, and have the babyface go over there to end the show. You know what? All things being equal, I don't know that I wouldn't have ended the show with that match in the main event.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in a perfect world, it would have been great to end the show with Black and Styles, but if it were for a title, I just felt like the Undertaker's entrance was, which predictability is not bad all the time. You always say that on your podcast, that sometimes predictability is good, but I just don't think that people give a shit about the Undertaker anymore.
It didn't sound that way tonight. I mean, he got the biggest pop on the entire show.
No. Well, he probably got the biggest pop by default because everything else sucked.
Well,
for the most part.
Maybe.
You know, but
I don't know about
people
that.
They still like to hear the gong. You know, it's very nostalgic
to
hear the gong.
They like the Undertaker's dong, absolutely. I agree with that.
They talk. as far as the main event, though, I might be in the minority. I didn't like it. But at the same time, I didn't mind Shayna, like, kind of in there like a shark, just kind of circling around, waiting for Asuka. I think it kind of built up some anticipation between her and Asuka. They've been having some static, some smoke, if you will, for the last week or so, which I don't know, man. I was talking to my wife about it. I think they're going to turn Asuka's babyface now, man. I think if the trajectory is that Becky loses to Shayna, Shayna's going to be the big dog heel champion. They're going to need a babyface. And I think Becky's either going to take some time, or maybe she'll get drafted to SmackDown to feud with Sasha. Maybe they can shake things up that way. But I think they're going to need a strong babyface. I think people really want to cheer Asuka. And I think it wasn't that bad. I do agree that they could have just either sped up the clock or just opened up the pod like immediately, didn't have to have her wait. Especially the theme of the whole main event was her like making, like choking everybody out. Like, that was pretty, you know. But other than that, I mean, I feel like my main points were, you know, Brian Gulak was great, AJ Styles, Black put on a great show, and main event was boring. But that one particular spot where they were building up that anticipation between Asuka and Baszler, Asuka trying to come out the I mean, you know, I think that was all right. But overall, the pay-per-view still sucked. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I think we're pretty much in agreement on that. I think we're pretty much along the same wavelength. Anything else before I let you go?
No, that's it, man. I just want to say thanks for taking my call. It's my first time calling the show. I've been listening to you for the last 5 or 6 years now. Like previous caller said, keep up the good work, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Definitely call in again. I love hearing from all the longtime listeners, all the hardcores, because we only really started doing the live streams every month last year. I mean, I've been doing this a lot longer than a year, but the whole live on YouTube stuff really only started last year. So now we get to hear from people who have been listening for a long time. Thank you to Anthony Analog for the $2. Says, turn heel on your family and go to Double or Nothing. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about a heel turn. I am thinking about it. That's not a bad idea. And Strong Phoenix, thank you for the $4. I cannot wait to see AEW Blood and Guts in 2 weeks. I am looking forward to that. We do know, by the way, it's going to be the Elite against the Inner Circle. That we don't know the rules yet. We're going to find out the rules of the match on Wednesday. But we now know it is going to be the Elite against the Inner Circle on March 25th. So that should be a good time. Let's take a few more before we wrap up here with tonight's stream. Let's go to 862. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how's it going today?
Good, how are you?
Doing really good. I didn't actually watch the show, but I
I
follow
see.
along on Twitter. Obviously, watch your reviews. I just wanted to bring up the fact that I watch these shows and I just been following along, and just to see WWE fall so low to the point where I kind of don't even care about WrestleMania, and I'm sort of thinking about skipping out on it completely, but I sort of have to watch it because, who doesn't want to watch WrestleMania?
Well, I mean,
But
if you have a network
I
sub, you're
also
already
want.
getting it anyway, so you may as well watch it. Are you subbed to the WWE Network?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, WrestleMania is a long show. You don't have to watch the whole thing, but even the people who say, eh, I'm not really into WrestleMania, you know they're going to tune in to check out some of the key matches, and as soon as they see something they don't like, they'll turn it off. That's all. But if you're already getting it on the network, you're paying whatever it is, $9.99 a month. You may as well check out at least some of the key matches on the show.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it also brought me back to the point you was making about a week ago. You talked about WWE over relying on, the legends and the part times, which I definitely agree. They do over rely on these guys, but at the same time, I look at the main roster. I can't help but not care about anybody. I don't see anybody on the main roster that has the balls to really take that chance and really tell Vince and creative that, hey, I'm an asset to the company. Because why else are some of these fucking idiots in this company if they're not going to do anything worthy on television or be used to their full potential?
Yeah, I got done talking earlier about Ricochet and was kind of laughing about it. But again, it's sad because Ricochet is a very, he's like an uber talented guy. He can do things that very few, if anyone else, can do in between the ropes. He built his reputation on being able to just do all these sensational things that must see. This guy's like a video game character come to life. So athletic. I enjoyed his work in Lucha Underground, under the Prince Puma mask. And comes in with some fanfare, does well in NXT, and comes to the main roster. And at first, he's kind of doing well. They put him and Aleister Black together as a team, which was kind of weird, but all right, fine. They were doing okay. And then they split them off, and it's just been phew, like just all downhill ever since. And I don't know if it's a case where they feel like, well, we've got to break these guys down. It's like a play toy, right? You just built. Like you bought like a beautiful Lego set that's already put together, it's pre-made. Let's break it apart. Let's smash it on the floor. Let's break it into little itty bitty pieces so that we can build it back up again. We can take credit for it and we'll just build it back up again on our own. I hope that's what it is, and not just that they've given up on the guy like they did with Cedric Alexander, who got a push for about 6 seconds, and then obviously they got bored of him. And we haven't really seen him since. He's been toiling on some of the other shows that nobody watches. It's frustrating. How are you supposed to get behind some of these guys if they just pull the plug on them? I mean, after watching what's happened to Ricochet in the last few weeks, unless you just feel so badly for the guy, how can you get behind somebody like that? He's a loser. He's a total loser. So we'll see on TV tomorrow night if this is the start of some kind of losing streak angle, which always works out so well for that person. Or if it's not, they won't even acknowledge it. It'll just be Ricochet and a bunch of random matches and counting down the days, I guess, until his contract is up. If I'm him, that's what I'm doing. 559, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. Hey, this is I'm Mauricio from Early Mart.
Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Hello? Well, hey, we tried. I gave it time. I did try. But my patience wore thin. Let's go to 401. You're on the air.
Am I on?
You are on, sir.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. Good morning. This is Dick Tickles from Twitter.
Ah, Dick Tickles. Dick Tickles, did you enjoy my Manscaped read a little bit earlier on in the stream?
I believe I was out when you read that. So,
well, you'll have to go back and listen to it. You'll have to go back and listen to it because
I
right up your alley.
I think I was taking a dump just like this show tonight.
Well, you and the rest of the world.
No, I didn't like this show very much. The first match was good. Brian and Gulak was fine. But you kind of expect those guys to have a good match, but everything after that was just the same old shit. And the main event really summed up the whole pay-per-view, and I think WWE in general right now.
Yeah, it's too bad, because, again, Elimination Chamber used to be a show that actually was pretty good, and people would look forward to it, and you'd have some kick-ass matches, and now it's just, at least this year, just a complete afterthought of a show. And
not just this year, it's been... You know, for the past few years.
Yeah, but you know what? There have been some chamber matches in the last few years that I've really enjoyed. I thought were excellent, and I can't say that about either one tonight. I thought the tag one was good, but neither one of them was really anything out of this world.
Well, you know, I'm speaking from the perspective of like chamber matches from the early 2000s, mid 2000s, but you know, everything compared today to then. Isn't going to hold up. But, yeah, last year's chamber matches were okay. This year's were not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you get no argument out of me. Anything else strike you watching the show tonight?
Just the overall apathy of the product right now. And it's affecting all three brands, NXT included. I used to watch NXT. Since AEW, you know, came on Wednesday nights, I just watch that now, and I love AEW to death.
Yeah, it's just nice to have...
They're not perfect, but they're great.
No, there's no such thing as a perfect show. Even Lucha Underground, I mean, I love Lucha Underground, but it wasn't perfect. But it's just nice to have... You know what would be nicer, though? What would be nicer, and I get that AEW doesn't do the kind of numbers that Raw does. People throw that in the face of the AEW fans. Well, you know, SmackDown did 2.4 million. Well, yeah, but the point is, I wish they could narrow that gap a little bit, because then it would show WWE that there is an appetite for that kind of product. I don't want to make it sound like AEW is the complete opposite of WWE, but what they're doing a good job with it. And so WWE needs to channel some of that. There's just a certain urgency to that show, it's got a certain life to it that is lacking from a lot of these WWE shows.
Yeah.
It's just missing.
Yeah, life is a good way to put it, because, you know, I'll just throw out, like, past 8-10 weeks of WWE, it's just, it's on, I try to pay attention, but it's extremely difficult to, but AEW, man, when I get home, that's the first thing that I put on when I get home from work, because... It's just a superior product. And as for the ratings, I mean, you know, maybe in the next couple years, AEW will get to like 1.5 million viewers. But what's going to happen is that Raw, SmackDown, you know, by the end of this year, they're both going to be below 2 million every week with the way it's going.
Well, people have been saying that the last couple of years, and they haven't dipped yet. I mean, they've got their base. I think that base is going to be there no matter what. I think it's just people that... They have their bar, and they're going to watch no matter what, no matter how good or bad it is.
Yeah, getting close. I think the rating for Raw this past week was like 2.25. That's pretty damn low.
Yeah, I mean, they've touched even a little bit lower
than
that
last year.
Yeah, they've look. If you just look at the patterns, you're probably right. Eventually, it's going to happen. Every year over year, they're losing people. So I'm sure at some point it'll happen. The question is that going to be a wake-up call, or is it just going to be status quo? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Anything else before I let you go?
We will find out. No, that'll be all. Thank you very much for taking my call. Have a good morning.
You too. Thanks for calling in. Dick Tickles from Twitter. Dick Tickles, not meant to be a descriptive term, although I guess it could be, but not doing any of that right now. I'm live on the air. Let's do one more. Let's see. Let's make it a good one here. Let's go to the Midwest. I guess, would this be Midwest? I don't know. Area code 816. I don't know. 816. Is that the Midwest?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was. Who am I talking to?
Yeah. Hey, my name is Eric, but you can call me Spencer.
All right. Is there any reason why I could call you Spencer? Is that like a middle name or something?
Yeah, it's my middle name,
Okay.
but kind of like, yeah. But I was actually asleep for most of the afternoon, but I actually ended up catching the last of the Intercontinental match in the main event. And, yeah, the Intercontinental match was pretty eh. And the main event was kind of shit. and, yeah, I just didn't see anything special in the show.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good call to end on, too, because that pretty much sums up the entire pay-per-view tonight. I thought you were going to tell me you slept for most of the afternoon and then tuned into the pay-per-view and fell back asleep.
No, actually, I kind of did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I've actually been a fan of yours since like 2015. It's actually great to finally get in and talk to you. But yeah, I didn't think so much of the show, but I did want to ask you, what do you think about AEW real quick? Because I know like some people that I know like aren't necessarily fans of it, but like me personally, I checked out Double or Nothing last year, and I love the Cody and Goldust match, but. I mean, you know how, like, in WCW back in the day, they had the NWO angle that made them go from, like, a 2 to, like, a 10 as a show. What do you think could be that in AEW, you know, in the future, the whole Elite thing or Cody or MJF or what do you think?
When you say went from a 2 to a 10, I don't know if you're talking about the quality of the show. First of all, some people would argue if they actually went from a 2 to a 10. The numbers certainly exploded. I don't see that happening. I don't think there's anything they can do to make that happen. I just think those days are over. And look, TV has changed. There's a lot more channels. A lot of people are cutting the cord. It's a very real thing. People can't look at it and go, man, when's wrestling going to get back to like 6s and 7s? The answer is never. It will never, ever happen. So all they need to do is just focus on putting out a show that has characters that people want to see, wrestlers who can actually get in the ring and put on a match that people are going to want to see, and characters that are likable or really, really hateable, but in like a good way that gets people to want to tune in. And that's it. Try to come up with like fresh ideas. You know, AEW will do some of these theme shows, Bash at the Beach, Blood and Guts. I like that. I like that it changes things up a little bit. They've done Dynamite from some locations that are kind of cool. Outside in that, I forgot the name of it, but Dolly's Place or Daly's Place, whatever it is, down in Florida. Just things to change it up and just something out of the norm. Instead of the same thing every single week, Full Sail every single week. You know, that's part of what NXT, even though I love NXT, it's part of what NXT is suffering from right now. So I think just keep doing that. AEW, whatever they're doing is working for them. They've got a stable audience right now. But to take the show from a 2 to a 10 in terms of, I guess, viewership, I don't think you mean that literally, but just really ratcheting up the number of people watching. You know, there's only so much you can do. Wrestling is just not as hot as it used to be. You know, there's no Austins. There's no, you know, Goldberg suddenly getting hot. I don't see any of that on the horizon. I don't think the current system allows for that. I hate to say it, at least in WWE. I just don't think the system as it exists right now in 2020, I just don't think it exists, you know, in a way that allows for that to happen. Sadly. Let's check the Twitter poll one last time here. 35.8% up, 64.2% down, closing in on 3,000 votes. Poll's only been up for a little while, so you can still vote at Solomonster on Twitter. And Strong Phoenix, thank you for that final $6 super chat. Says, watching Elimination Chamber is like eating chicken without any sauce, flavor, and seasoning. Nothing worse than dry chicken or turkey. That is the worst. That's the dirt worst. Or soggy French fries. Elimination Chamber was like a soggy French fry. How's that for an analogy? I'm going to be back with a Dynamite live stream this Wednesday night after the AEW show. So I hope all of you will come on back and join me then. And of course, a brand new podcast dropped today. So if you're not satisfied with enough sound off here tonight. You got 2.5 hours more of my voice that you can listen to. Episode 642 dropped earlier. Talked about all the new Dark Side of the Ring episodes coming up here in Season 2 on Vice. Really looking forward to that show coming back. And we get into a whole bunch of other stuff as well, including the Observer Awards this week. Yeah, I think some people have this misconception. They hear Wrestling Observer Awards, and they're like, ah, Meltzer, who cares? You know, as if he voted. I mean, he probably cast his vote like everybody else did. But I think people have this misconception that it's just him handing out awards. These awards are voted on by the readers. Now, the readers, there may be groupthink involved here, where a lot of the readers think like he does. But it's not voted on by him. It's voted on by the readers and by wrestlers and people in the industry who do read his content and do vote. So I just want to clear that up. And to some people, it's a big deal every year. So I decided to cover it and ask the question. You know, somebody asked me, is Chris Jericho, in your opinion, in the top 10 greatest of all time in wrestling? Does he crack, in your opinion, the top 10 greatest of all time? And I had to think about that, and I came to a conclusion. I listed my personal top 10 of all time at the end of the show this week. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to go back and listen. And it'll also be hitting the YouTube channel in the next couple of days. So that's episode 642. Go back and check that out if you missed it. And I will see you back here for the Dynamite live stream on Wednesday. Everybody have a good night. Get some sleep. Get some shut-eye. I'm going to go watch some Lord Frieza and hit the hay. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you on Wednesday.